We're going to turn now to the scriptures for our Bible reading, and we're turning to 1 Kings, to chapter 17.
Let us all turn to the Word of God. We're looking just now at 1 Kings, chapter 17. While you're turning up the place, let me say, this is a chapter about Elijah. Elijah just bursts upon the scene in the chapter. There's no description of him at all. Although we do have a description of him in 2 Kings chapter 1, where he's described in a unique way. A man, a hairy man. And the Hebrew text is very interesting there because it uses the word for Lord or Master as the Master of Hair or the Lord of Hair. Now that's very peculiar to us. But in other ways, this word for Lord and Master in the Hebrew text is used for a characteristic. For example, one who said to be a Lord or Master of the Word, Master of Words, is an orator. Another, who may be said to be a Lord of the Tongue or Master of the Tongue, is a charmer. Well, in the case of Elijah, this is a distinctive about him. His appearance, his clothing, a garment of hair, girt about in his middle with this leather belt. He's called a Lord of Hair, Master of Hair. I think of him with having a bushy head of hair as well. I think that's part and parcel of his title here, don't you? And so we think of him as a man to be noted even by appearance. Never mind his mighty word. Now we're going to read about that here in 1 Kings 17. Verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her, and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her, and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We'll conclude our reading there. We pray the Lord will bless the reading of his holy word, even for his name's sake.
Amen. And we are grateful to Dr. Douglas for the reading of God's precious word. If you're looking in 1 Kings chapter 17, I would want to draw your attention today, especially to the words of verse 3. And we read there in verse 3, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And I want to entitle the message this morning, Self-Isolation. Self-isolation. Let us just unite our hearts together in a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord for help as we come to the ministry of his word. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank and praise thee again that we have thy word before us. And we thank thee, O God, for the inspired truth. We rejoice that we can turn together to the scriptures. And we would ask, O God, for that divine enlightenment to be granted, that the Holy Spirit of God himself would be our teacher and would be our instructor, and that thou wouldst reveal the things of God to us and equip us, O God, even from thy word, that in these days we would be enabled to live for thee and to live to thine honour and to thy glory. I ask now for that needed help from heaven, the infilling of thy Spirit. We offer this our prayer in the Saviour's great name. Amen. Well, self-isolation is a term that we have become all too familiar with in recent days. Ever since the outbreak of COVID-19, we're learning these new expressions like social distancing and self-isolation. The government has issued guidelines for those that they would recommend should self-isolate. They would tell us anyone who displays symptoms of the virus, they must self-isolate. And if you're living with anyone in the household who is displaying symptoms, then you too must self-isolate. There's another category, those who have underlying health conditions. They have been recommended that they should be self-isolating at this particular time. Well, what does that mean? It means that they must stay at home. It means that they must not be visiting family members or other people. And there's that period of quarantine, 7 or perhaps up to 14 days, where they must cut themselves off from everyone else. And this self-isolation, it's a period where you have to make plans and put arrangements in place, how you're going to get your essential supplies, your necessary food. If you're able to go on the internet, perhaps you can do the online shopping and you can have the groceries delivered to your doorstep. Or maybe you're more dependent on family and friends and neighbours to maybe do that doorstep delivery and to leave you some things outside on the doorstep. And all of these recommendations, all of this advice, we're hearing it day and daily. And as I was listening to it, it made me think about Elijah. And it reminded me of that time here that we have been reading about, where Elijah had to, in effect, self-isolate. And you can see that in our text of Scripture. The Lord said to him, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself." And so Elijah was told to hide himself away. He was told to self-isolate. And it wasn't by any government recommendation. It was at the direction of the Lord himself. Elijah was a man who was directed by God. He was the prophet of the Lord. And you notice in verse 2 here of the Bible reading, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself." And so here is a man who was being directed by the word of the Lord. And that's something that is highlighted in the life of Elijah. His life is punctuated with that direction from the Lord through his word. You could look in this same chapter at the verse 8, and you see those words repeated, "And the word of the Lord came unto him." You could look into the very next chapter, chapter 18, and the verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Into chapter 19 and to the verse 9, you have another example there. "And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him." And each time there in those examples, and that's just some of the examples of those occasions in the life of Elijah when the Lord spoke to him and the Lord guided him by his word. Doesn't that serve as an illustration to us of how important it is today to be guided by the Lord and to be guided according to his word? And the Lord has promised his people that as we read his word, as we meditate upon it, and we prayerfully come to the scriptures, that the Lord, through his word today, will guide and direct our steps. We're not to be guided by our own notions. We're not to follow our own ideas or to follow our own ambition. We are to be directed by the Lord through his word. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And the psalmist has said in Psalm 37 and the verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." And here's Elijah, and his steps are being ordered by the Lord. And the Lord is directing him here at the outset of 1 Kings chapter 17. The Lord is directing him to hide himself. The place that he was to hide himself is identified in our text of Scripture. "Hide thyself by the brook Cherith," that is before Jordan. And the Jewish way would be to pronounce it Kereth, the CH being the hard pronunciation. But here we have this name of the brook Cherith, and it's named here twice, and it's the only occasion in God's word where the reference is made to this particular brook. Just 1 Kings chapter 17. The name here, Cherith, it comes from the original verb, which means to cut. to cut and to separate. And it has a very wide and broad meaning. It can mean to cut by way of cutting down a tree. It can mean to cut by way of making a covenant. It was said that they would cut a covenant. That's the word that was used. But it also takes in the meaning to cut oneself off. And here, that's really what Elijah was having to do. He was having to withdraw himself. He was having to remove himself. And the Lord was commanding him and saying, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. So even the name of the place, Cherith, gives us some idea of what Elijah had to do here. He had to cut himself off. He had to self-isolate. He had to separate himself. And I thought it would be profitable for us today, just for a little while, to come to this portion of Scripture and to think of Elijah in his self-isolation. And it reveals a number of things to us here. When we think about this place and this position that Elijah is in, we could say, firstly, it was a place of protection. A place of protection. The call today for individuals to self-isolate is primarily for their own protection and for the protection of their family members and for the protection of the vulnerable and for the protection of society in general. To self-isolate today due to the coronavirus is to try and help curtail the spreading of the virus. And as we're being told, to flatten the curve. And so it's in an effort to protect ourselves and to protect others. And as we think of Elijah here, and he was by the brook Cherith, it was for protection. The Lord was protecting him from danger. Of course, Ahab was upon the throne of Israel, and he had his wicked wife Jezebel alongside him, and they would have thought nothing about killing Elijah. Jezebel would later vow that she was going to kill Elijah. But even then, the Lord protected his servant. But at this point in Elijah's life, we can see that him having to hide himself away and to self-isolate was the Lord's way of keeping his servant safe from danger. Even that physical danger, the very taking of his life, it was as if the Lord was saying to him, stay safe. Stay safe. Elijah here withdraws himself, cuts himself off. You know, he had just made the public appearance here in 1 Kings chapter 17 and the verse 1. He appears before King Ahab. And it's as if Elijah just appears here from out of nowhere. As Dr. Douglas mentioned in his introduction to the Bible reading, we have very little by way of background and introductory material to Elijah. He just appears here on the canvas of Scripture. He appears so suddenly and abruptly upon the scene, and it's a very dramatic appearance. He's before the King of Israel, very faithfully. And very courageously, he here takes a stand for the Lord. And he said there in verse 1 before the king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And having said that before the king, Elijah disappears. Almost as quickly as he has appeared on the scene, he then disappears. He disappears into obscurity. We would have perhaps been reading this passage and this man of God who suddenly appears on the scene and goes and confronts the king of Israel and reproves him for the sin of the land and nation. We would almost expect that on leaving the palace he would go on a preaching tour, and he would be calling people to repentance. He would be reproving the sin of the day. He would be taking that stand for the Lord. One that would maybe travel from town to town and from place to place across the kingdom. But no. Having appeared before the king, he now disappears. And there's no public profile here because he's hidden away. Hide thyself. And the Lord was protecting his servant from even that physical danger. The Lord was using this time of self-isolation to protect Elijah not only from the physical danger but the spiritual danger. Protecting him from the sin that was rampant in the days in which he lived. There was idolatry that had spread across the land, and Ahab, the king, had been responsible for presiding over the worst sin in generations. You look into the previous chapter, chapter 16 and the verse 30. It says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." And so here is the highest position, the highest authority in the land, and he has done evil in the sight of the Lord. That's bad enough. But then it says above all that were before him. The sin of the day had never been so bad. In verse 33 of chapter 16, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." And so Ahab here, in leading the nation in sin, he did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all that were before him. And so the Lord is now moving in the days of Elijah, in answer to Elijah's prayer. The Lord is moving in judgment against the nation. Make no mistake about that. The Lord will judge sin. And the Lord was going to judge the sin in the days of Elijah by withholding rain. There was going to be a drought, and therefore there was going to be a famine, and it was coming to show and to indicate the Lord's displeasure with what was happening. The Lord does judge nations for their sin. Here it was going to be by famine, and other occasions it could be by pestilence, and all of those things are listed in the Word of God. And the Lord here with Elijah, he's protecting him from all of this. Hide thyself. And he's being protected here from being caught up with the sin of the day, being swept away with the tide of sin and evil. You know, Elijah was a man. That may be stating the obvious, but that's what James tells us in James chapter 5 and the verse 17, when he was wanting to bring there an example about prayer. He said Elijah was a man, not a superman, just a man. And he said a man subject to like passions. And so Elijah was just an individual like you and me. And therefore in his day, he was going to be exposed to all of the sin and the evil that was abroad. And the danger was that he could be swept along with the tide of sin. But we show here that the Lord told him to hide himself away. And so the Lord was actually protecting him not only from the physical danger, but even from the spiritual danger. And we today need to guard our Christian walk. We need to be so careful. The sins that are rampant in our day and generation, we need to step away from them. The Lord would call us to separation. We need, as it were, to hide ourselves away by way of that protection. Times when we need to withdraw. And didn't the very first Psalm indicate that to us about the blessed man? The man that would be blessed of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. No, his delight is to be in the law of the Lord, and in his law would he meditate day and night. We need to guard our steps in this day in which we live, that we would walk circumspectly. We would walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus. And we can see at times that the Lord can take us aside from it all by way of protection. And so for Elijah here at the brook Cherith, we can say in the first place that it was a place of protection. But secondly, it was a place of provision. Provision. The Lord would provide for his servant there. And for those today, as we've indicated already, who are having to self-isolate because of the coronavirus, they have to make arrangements for their essential supplies. They have to call upon the family members or whoever it's going to be to bring them the necessary provision, the necessary supplies. And all across our land, we have those doorstep deliveries taking place, bringing people their necessary food. Place of provision. And Elijah had his provision. We can read of it there in the verse 4. And it shall be, the Lord said, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. There was a natural provision here because he would drink from the brook. The water was there before Elijah. The Lord had provided that for him. Whenever the heavens were going to be withholding the rain and there was a drought that would spread throughout the land, here the Lord gave Elijah that natural provision, the water from the brook. He would give him the supernatural provision. That is, the ravens would come. The ravens, commanded by the Lord, would bring the Lord's servant the food. They were doing the doorstep delivery, if you like, the ravens. But you think about the provision here from the Lord, that natural provision, that water from the brook, and Elijah was able to drink from the brook, and I can picture him in my mind's eye coming to the water and stooping down and drinking. And for Elijah, that was the water of life. That was the water that was going to keep him. That was life-giving water for Elijah. And you can see there a lovely picture of the gospel. The Lord uses water to speak of salvation. And he said in the gospels, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And the Lord promises to give the water of life to the whosoever that will come to him. And perhaps even listening today, there's some thirsty soul. And your soul is not satisfied with the things of this old world. You have tried perhaps many different things to find that satisfaction for the craving and the thirsting of your soul. But there's none can satisfy. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. And thirsty soul, you can come to the Lord today, and he promises you that draught of living water. He says you'll never thirst again. You can be saved, and you can be satisfied in the Savior. He satisfies the hungry soul. He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. And you can come, as it were, and you can stoop down humbly, coming to the Lord. And you can live if you partake of the living water that the Lord shall give. Horatius Bonner was the one who penned those words. And he said, I heard the voice of Jesus say, Behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in Him. And the provision here of the water is a lovely presentation of the gospel. You can come and drink and live. And that's what Elijah was doing here. And you can see the supernatural provision that he had from the ravens. The Lord was commanding the ravens. And you can see in verse 6 of this passage, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Twice a day, he had the doorstep delivery. And it was coming in such a miraculous way, such a supernatural way, both morning and evening. That would seem to indicate specific times here that would coincide with the time of the morning and evening sacrifice. Now, Elijah may not have been in a position to actually offer sacrifices to the Lord, but maybe he used the time when the sacrifice would have been offered. He used that time as a time to worship the Lord, a time to meditate upon the Lord, perhaps a time when he would seek the Lord in prayer. And just at that time, the Lord would provide for him, and provide for him in a miraculous way. Do you know what that was an indication of to Elijah? The Lord had not forgotten him. There he was on his own, hidden himself away, self-isolation, no one else with him, out there by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, forgotten perhaps by man, but not by the Lord. And every time those ravens came with the bread and flesh in the morning and the bread and flesh in the evening, Elijah knows the Lord has not forgotten him. But the Lord is with him. And perhaps for some today, and you have to shut yourself away, and I know there are those listening that have had to self-isolate. Maybe there are those who are living on their own, and they would be feeling even that loneliness, being cut off, as it were, from family and from their neighbours and society in general. The Lord has not forgotten you. The Lord would say to you today, fear not, for I am with thee. The Lord has given his people that wonderful promise, I will never leave thee. And the Lord is able to provide for us, to provide for us even in a miraculous way. And the Apostle Paul has promised when he said to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord here in this particular passage, he used the ravens. That's very interesting. The ravens were used to supply the bread and the flesh, the bread and the meat to Elijah. The raven in the Bible is an unclean bird. You can think of the raven family and those crow-like birds with the blackness, and they represent there the picture of uncleanness and of sin. They're viewed as a scavenger bird. You would see them perhaps scavenging by the side of the road if there's been some animal that's been knocked down and they're lying. There are the ravens. And they're picking away, and they're a scavenger bird, and they would eat their food in such a ferocious way. And yet here, they're picking up the bread, they're picking up the flesh, and they're under the command and the control of the Lord. And they're bringing that bread and that flesh to the Lord's servant, to Elijah. And I say to those today who are listening, the Lord can use you. If the Lord is able to use the raven, and the Lord is able to bring it under his command and under his control, then we can all be used by the Lord. Perhaps even in some small way, like volunteering or helping individuals at this time. We could be those ravens brought under the command and the control of the Lord, and we would be instruments in the hand of the Lord for good. And so we think about this place of self-isolation. And it was a place of protection, it was a place of provision. But I want you to notice, thirdly, it was a place of proving. A place of proving. And Elijah had to prove the Lord here. It was a time when he had to prove the Lord like never before. These were challenging days for Elijah. And the days that we are living in are challenging days. And as the time goes on, they are becoming more and more challenging. And we need to prove the Lord. Elijah had to prove the Lord in relation to the duration of time that he was there at the brook Cherith. And we cannot be sure how long he was there. Perhaps just like today, we cannot be sure how long this self-isolation is going to continue. Some people would be asking the question, how long can this go on with all of the restrictions in place? Well, we learned this past week, it's going on for at least another 3 weeks. We're going to have to prove the Lord. There's a reference to time in the passage here. When you look at verse 7, it commences with the words, and it came to pass after a while. And therefore, we're not exactly sure how long, but the Bible says here, after a while. Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, you would be able to look at the reference there for verse 7, and in the original language, that could also be translated at the end of days. So after a while, or at the end of days. And day is in the plural here. And so it's speaking not about just a day, it's speaking about days because it's in the plural form. Now you could go down this chapter where we have read together and compare verse 15. And it's interesting to note here in verse 15 that the expression is the same, but it's translated differently in verse 15. And here it has to do with Elijah's time with the widow of Zarephath. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Now the expression there at the end of verse 15 is the same as that which is in verse 7 that's translated after a while or at the end of days. But in verse 15, it's a reference to many days. And again, if you have the marginal reference in your Bible, that could also be rendered a full year. After a while. At the end of days. Many days. A full year. And so while we cannot speak definitively about the length of time that Elijah was here in self-isolation at the brook, we can see that it was no doubt a relatively long time. A long time in self-isolation. Now, I don't want to alarm anyone who is listening. I hope that your period of isolation doesn't last as long, perhaps, as Elijah's did here. But I just want you to notice that when he was at this place, having to hide himself away, no contact with any others, it went on perhaps for quite some time. And therefore, he had to prove the Lord during this time. And for however long you find yourself under the restrictions that are abroad today, it's a time when you can prove the Lord. And prove the Lord is with you. Prove that the Lord will provide for you. The Lord will meet your need. That the Lord will never leave you, will never forsake you. That the Lord will keep his hand upon you. And you can prove day by day the sufficiency of the grace of God. And so Elijah had to prove the Lord in relation to the duration of time that he was there in self-isolation. But when you look there into the verse 7, there was another way that he had to prove the Lord. And that was the drying up of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now that was going to be a massive test for Elijah. And there he is, and he's dwelling by the brook, and every time he gets thirsty, he can come to the brook, and he can take the water that the Lord has provided for him. But he begins to notice something. He begins to notice that day by day, the level of the brook is getting lower. The level of the water is going down. And as he sees it going further and further down, he's going to wonder, what do I do? Do I sit here and wait? Or do I make a decision to move on and to try and find supply somewhere else? If he had moved on, he would be moving out of the will of God. For the Lord had told them by his word, go and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. And so until the Lord directs him further, and verse 8 will show the word of the Lord coming again. He has to sit here, but it's a time of proving, because as the brook is drying up, he has to trust the Lord more than ever. He has to show his obedience to the Lord. He has to exercise patience here. And they're all virtues that we need to learn more and more in these days. F.B. Meyer, in commenting on this passage, he asked the question, why did God allow the brook to dry up? Why did God allow the brook to dry up? That's a good question. And F.B. Meyer answered it. He said, God wants to teach us to trust not in the gifts, but in the giver. Do you see that? God wants us not to trust in the gifts, but in the giver. We have learned from that little epistle of James in chapter 1 that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gifts are from the Lord. So don't be trusting in the gift. Trust in the giver of those gifts. And Elijah here is having to prove that. Looking not to the water that the Lord had given that was beginning to dry up, but to look to the Lord who had given it in the first place. The Lord who would not fail him. The Lord who had been with him in the past and with him here in the present would not fail him for the future, even when the brook was drying up. And the Lord could test you where you would have to prove the Lord. Your brook could be drying up. That brook could be your health. Oh, you might be sitting today and you're fit and well and you feel strong and you're not fearful of the coronavirus, but you know how quickly all that could change. The brook of your health could start to dry up. That would be a time of proving. Maybe your wealth, the brook of your wealth could start to dry up. We know the impact that this coronavirus is having upon the global economy. But you could bring that not only locally, but even personally to you. Investments that you have made, decisions that you have made, perhaps planning for financial security for the future, the brook of your wealth could start to dry up. There's going to be difficult days ahead, financially and with the economy. Time of proving the Lord. The brook of your family, that family circle. The old hymn says, one by one, their seats were emptied. One by one, they went away. You think of how one after another, the family can start to dry up, as it were. There will be different ways whereby you will be tested and you will have to prove the Lord. But in proving the Lord, you're coming to trust in one who fully understands. And he knows what it is even to be in isolation, as it were. The Savior has been through that himself. You think of what it says in the Gospels, Matthew 14, verse 23. Speaking of the Lord going there to the mountain, going there to pray. And it says in that verse of Scripture, he was there alone. He was there alone. In the Gospel of John, the chapter 16 and the verse 32, the Lord was speaking to his disciples and he said to them, "Ye shall leave me alone." Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth, he knew what it was to be alone. Do you remember when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he took with him Peter, James and John and he left them there? And he went a little further. He was there in the garden alone. And there in the garden alone, as he was exceeding sorrowful even unto death, and he prayed to the Lord and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The Lord knew what it was to be alone. Isaiah 63, you would read those words, "I have trodden the winepress alone." And when you look to Calvary, the Lord was there upon the cross to suffer and bleed and die alone. He himself bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the door of heaven to let us in. And therefore he had to suffer alone. You think of the cry that the Savior made. The cry when he was forsaken even of the Father. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary was forsaken so that you and me would never be forsaken. The Lord has promised he will be with us. And for those today who would find themselves in self-isolation, would be feeling the heat of the day, you remember that the Lord is with you. And the Lord is one who knows and understands. And today you can prove the Lord. In these challenging days you can prove the Lord to be that friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts.